You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest developments in medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. We love the earth. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. Now, here's your host, Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, March 14th, 2018, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us this week for another edition of the podcast, and we've got so much to bring to you today. Coming up on today's show in the news, we've got international headlines coming out of the United Nations, which also ties into what we'll be talking about in our second segment, Reefer Madness Debunked. The Joker to my Batman, Kevin Sabet, is at it again. He's at the United Nations in Vienna, trying to spread all sorts of falsehoods and misdirections about legalization 5 years into it in Washington and Colorado. We're going to debunk a little bit of it in the first hour, and then stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio, our VIP hour, and we'll tackle another assertion by Kevin Sabet that's proven to be false. Also on the program in our news, we've got headlines coming out of Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, more comments from him on marijuana legalization and the federal response to it. We've got a new poll out of New Jersey on marijuana legalization to get to. And then as we get into our interview segment today, we'll be visiting with the editor-in-chief of Freedom Leaf Magazine, dedicated to marijuana reform. Freedom Leaf Magazine's Steve Bloom will be joining us for the winter issue preview that also includes a book review on a leafly guide that I have contributed to the magazine. So that's coming up in the middle of the first hour. And then at the end of the first hour, we'll have time for a radical rant where I take an in-depth look at Idaho's governor, the masculine sea mammal himself, Butch Otter, who is the sole obstacle to getting some sort of relief for epileptic kids that could desperately use CBD oil. We'll talk about that. And then in hour two, Toker Talk Radio, our VIP hour, I've got this disgusting story coming out of Alabama, a sheriff who punished a whistleblower by using marijuana prohibition to get back at him for taking $750,000 that was intended to feed jail prisoners. It's a disgusting story. More on that and other debunking coming up in that hour too, Toker Talk Radio. Also, check out the newly redesigned MJAgenda.com website with handier links for our podcasts. Now, let's get to the news.
This is your Cannabis Headline News, brought to you by MarijuanaMoment.net, the complete source for all your marijuana news in one morning newsletter from Marijuana Majority founder Tom Angel. Subscribe today for free at MarijuanaMoment.net.
This is your Cannabis Headline News for the week of Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville. The head of the United Nations used a speech before the policy body, the organization's drug policy body, to tout the success of a decriminalization law that Portugal enacted when he was the country's prime minister.
Current efforts have fallen short of the goal to eliminate the illicit drugs market. We can promote efforts to stop organized crime while protecting human rights, enabling development, and ensuring rights-based treatment and support. I am particularly proud of the results of the reforms I introduced in Portugal when I was Prime Minister almost 20 years ago.
In 2001, Prime Minister António Guterres' Portuguese government decriminalized all drugs, including marijuana and cocaine. Although the substances technically remain illegal, people caught with small amounts aren't arrested or incarcerated, but are instead brought before panels that can refer them to treatment. A 2009 report concluded that since the decriminalization policy was enacted, teen drug use decreased and drug-related deaths and HIV/AIDS rates among drug consumers also fell, while enrollment in drug treatment increased. Attorney General Jeff Sessions acknowledged on Saturday that the Department of Justice does not have enough resources to enforce prohibition against everyone who violates federal marijuana laws.
Well, we're not going to be able, even if we desired, to take over state enforcement of routine cases that might occur.
Nonetheless, the Attorney General made clear he believes that DEA agents should be able to enforce federal marijuana laws against anyone who violates them, regardless of state law.
And the law of the United States of America, in case you haven't heard, applies in every state in the United States. And I am not going to tell Colorado or California or someone else that the possession of marijuana is legal under United States law.
Sessions also took a swipe at the medical use of cannabis that is now legal in more than half the states.
I don't think it's healthy either. If I were sick, I wouldn't suggest you take marijuana to cure yourself. I'm not sure it's proven to be particularly helpful.
New Jersey voters support ending cannabis prohibition by a margin of 59% to 37% in Quinnipiac University's survey released Tuesday. The poll also found that voters tend to think alcohol is more harmful than cannabis. Only 10% said marijuana is the more dangerous substance, while 39% said is less harmful than alcohol. Another 48% said the two are equally dangerous. The survey was released on the same day that Governor Phil Murphy, who campaigned on legalization, released a budget proposal that relies on cannabis tax revenue to fund the state's programs. Said Murphy,
"Decriminalization alone will not put the corner dealer out of business. It will not help us protect our kids, and it will not end the racial disparities that we see. If these are our goals, as they must be, then the only sensible option is the careful, I emphasize careful, legalization, regulation, and taxation of marijuana sales to adults."
A three-judge state court of appeals panel in Washington ruled that local jurisdictions have the authority to ban marijuana sales, agreeing with Attorney General Bob Ferguson's arguments and a 2014 Attorney General opinion. This is the first appellate court to rule on the issue. Judges in five trial court cases have also agreed with the Attorney General's interpretation. The Attorney General's office intervened in the case to uphold the will of the voters and ensure proper interpretation of Washington's marijuana law, according to a release from the department. Virginia Governor Ralph Northam signed a major piece of medical marijuana legislation that legalizes the use of cannabidiol oil, or THCA oil, for the treatment to alleviate the symptoms of any condition as determined by a doctor. With this bill, the supply of CBD oil, or THCA oil, can be dispensed by a pharmaceutical processor from a 30 to 90 day supply. Quote, "This will bring relief to thousands of Virginians suffering from cancer, Crohn's disease, and PTSD," said Jen Michelle Padini, executive director of the Marijuana Law Reform Advocacy Group, Virginia Normal, concluding, quote, "We could not be happier with the unanimous passage of these bills." This has been your Cannabis Headline News for the week of Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. I'm Russ Belville.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Russ channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalruss. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
There is nothing admirable, positive. There is nothing desirable about drugs.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
This is Radical Russ Belville with a word about stone driving. Numerous studies have shown that once you factor in age and gender, drivers with cannabis in their system have no statistically greater risk of motor vehicle crashes than sober drivers. But that doesn't mean you ought to be toking and driving. Those studies are referring to people with any amount of THC or metabolite in their system, not people who've just smoked marijuana. Simulators and observed demonstrations show that cannabis consumers do develop a tolerance to the impairing effects of marijuana and can perform driving tasks within an acceptable margin of safety. However, infrequent and novice consumers do not and cannot, and would be wise to never toke and drive. Even regular cannabis consumers should exercise caution before deciding to drive, as most state laws punish drivers harshly if they're discovered to have marijuana in their system.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal Potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
Marijuana is an addictive drug, which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he'd drop dead of fright.
You know, it's not easy trying to debunk 80 years of anti-marijuana propaganda in a one-hour podcast, but let's try. It's time for the Marijuana Agenda's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Today I was hit up on Facebook by a friend of mine, Jules Stobbs, one half of the so-called Dacha couple in South Africa. He's in Vienna attending the United Nations 61st Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Michael Krawitz is out there as well, a few other folks we know, and we'll get some reports back from them once it's concluded. But another person is there, the so-called quarterback of the anti-legalization movement, the Joker to my Batman, Kevin Civette. And he's taking his Reefer Madness Dog and Pony Show to the UNODC down there in Vienna. Sabet and his organization, Project Samuel, the Smart Approaches to Marijuana Use Except Legalization, is holding a seminar tomorrow. It's entitled Cannabis Legalization 5 Years Later. What Have We Learned? And if you visit my website at RadicalRust.com, I've got some posts up on this. You can see a picture of the actual flyer that Jules picked up for me. And it features a few other faces there from Norway, Pakistan, and a couple of other Americans who are in the anti-legalization camp. But there's Kevin Civette, former White House advisor, it says, March 15th. And they've got in red text kind of their teaser for the things you're going to learn that you didn't know about 5 years of marijuana legalization. Let me read that to you first. I'll read it, the whole thing, and then we'll tackle the first one of them. The Project Sam flyer claims that after 5 years of legalization, Washington State saw a doubling of driving fatalities where marijuana was involved following legalization. Colorado is now the number one state in the U.S. for first time. I'm sorry. Colorado is now the number one state in the U.S. for four first-time youth marijuana users. Yes, he has the typo in there. Crime is up. Legalized states are growing much more high-potency pot that they can consume, and it is ending up on the black market. All the while, states are violating UN drug treaties. Come and listen to the domestic and international implications of marijuana legalization. So that's the big scare. That's the hype for Kevin Civette's Reefer Madness Dog and Pony Show. Let me tackle the first one of these. Washington State saw a doubling of driving fatalities where marijuana was involved following legalization. So here's the key to this one. When you're confronting Kevin Civette, you got to watch his use of weasel words. Now, you know, weasel words are these turns of phrase that you just vaguely define what you're talking about, get people to infer what the terrible message might be. You know, don't say it outright, but just get them to think what you want them to think. But it's vaguely defined enough that you can escape any accountability to facts. So in this case, the weasel words is the turn of phrase where marijuana was involved. An accident where marijuana was involved. There was a doubling of driving fatalities where marijuana was involved. Notice that it doesn't say there was a doubling of driving fatalities from stoned drivers. See, he uses this phrase, where marijuana was involved, because what that means is that marijuana was detected in the form of either the active THC or inactive metabolites in the bloodstream or sometimes the urine of someone who was killed in a car crash. Now, why he's not using from stoned drivers is because detecting even the active THC in your blood
is not a reliable indicator that you're too impaired to drive. And in no way does it tell you whether or not you were at fault in the crash. Now, look, I know I'm probably biased, right? So don't take my word for it. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration told Congress in a report just last year, quote, THC level in blood or oral fluid does not appear to be an accurate and reliable predictor of impairment from THC, end quote. So Kevin Sabet's little stat of where marijuana was involved, well, hell, that could include someone who smoked a joint on Friday and then took a Lyft for a ride on Sunday, only to get hit and killed by a drunk driver. And, well, our hypothetical poor dead passenger would test positive for marijuana metabolite in his blood. So, aha, marijuana was involved in his death. So it's not even, it's the total fatalities we're talking about here. We're not just limiting it to people who are driving. You could be the passenger in the car. Hell, maybe you're stoned out of your mind. But just because someone else hit you in the car and killed you didn't mean that you being stoned out of your mind as a passenger had anything to do with that car getting hit. It's these weasel words. It's get the people think, oh my God, they don't look any deeper into it. Oh, traffic fatalities doubled where marijuana was involved. Oh my gosh, double the deaths. What they're saying is that the percentage of dead drivers that had THC in their system went from like 8% to like 16%, something like that. Now, given that marijuana was legalized in Washington state and the use among adults, not kids, the use among adults has increased and marijuana metabolites stick around in your system for, hell, up to 30 days in some cases. Well, damn, just by dumb luck, you're going to find some more dead drivers with pot in your system. But again, that doesn't mean the pot caused the crash any more than the recent increase in married gay people in car crashes means we should panic because there's now more fatalities where gay marriage was involved. And when you look at the statistics for Washington State, you can't find many more states that are safer to drive in. Washington State has seen a decline in traffic fatalities, even as the rest of the nation went up 6%. Washington State is the 9th safest state in which to drive if you measure fatalities by deaths per 100 million vehicle miles traveled, right? How much people are traveling. It's 9th safest in that regard. If you measure it by deaths per capita, by, you know, how many people there are in the state, deaths per capita, Washington does better. It's the 7th safest place to drive. So when Kevin Sabet wants to come out with this scare about Washington State saw a doubling of driving fatalities where marijuana was involved following legalization, it's easy to trip him up. Ask him what where marijuana was involved means. Then point out that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says where marijuana was involved doesn't tell us anything. Doesn't tell us that someone was too impaired to drive. Now, this can be a tough one to fight because people that don't look too deeply into it are going to just latch on to that, oh my God, more dead drivers. But when you can show them the stats that say, but there's fewer dead drivers, the fatalities are going down in Washington State, makes it a lot harder for that to stick. And this is also one of those cases where we've got a statistic where a doubling is a huge deal. It sounds like it's a huge deal, but when you look at the actual numbers, you're not talking about much. For example, there is a Powerball drawing tonight. And believe it or not, the Powerball lottery drawing, the jackpot is $420 million. 420, right? So I bought a ticket to that Powerball jackpot. That means I've got, you know, what is it, a 1 in a 30 billion chance? The odds are crazy, right? I don't know what the actual Powerball odds are, but they're huge, right? Let's say it's 1 in a billion. So if I go and buy 2 tickets to the Powerball, I've doubled my chances at winning, haven't I? Yeah, I have mathematically doubled my chances to win, but technically speaking, there's no shot in hell I'm going to win with one ticket or with two tickets. It's so small a number that we're talking about that doubling it doesn't mean much. The same principle applies to these traffic fatalities. Very few of them are actually stoned drivers.
I object to all this sex on the television. I mean, I keep falling off.
All right, folks, time for us to take a break. It's 20 after the hour, 4:20 in my home time zone of Boise, Idaho. We're going to be talking about Idaho at the end of the show. Butch Otter, I got my eyes on you. But for now, let's take a break. Smoke them if you got them. The anti-drug public service announcement is next, and then we'll hear from Steve Bloom and Freedom Leaf Magazine.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Okay, maybe you're a little high. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
So you used to be taller. What happened?
What happened? Pressure. Pressure to be so cool and so popular and to never say the wrong thing to anyone so I'm cool with everyone. The pressure to drink and get high. Pressure happened.
So now what?
I don't know, but this isn't working.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're not high. You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
It's not recreational. It can be destructive, and it consistently is destructive.
Okay, maybe you're a little high.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
Freedom Leaf is the magazine of record for the activists working to end adult marijuana prohibition. Freedom Leaf features the latest activism updates from Normal, SSDP, and Women Grow, plus informative articles from longtime activists and cannabis experts. Join us now as we visit with Freedom Leaf Editor-in-Chief Steve Bloom in this month's Freedom Leaf Preview.
Well, Welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Freedom Leaf Preview. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us, as usual, is our editor-in-chief of Freedom Leaf Magazine, Steve Bloom. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm excited to talk to you today because there's so many great things happening with Freedom Leaf. If folks are just learning about Freedom Leaf for the first time, give them a basic idea of what Freedom Leaf is all about.
Well, we're a magazine to begin with. We're also a company that's about the good news in marijuana. We're the marijuana legalization company, and we're branching out to CBD products, Hempology, and Leafceuticals. We just signed a deal with IRE CBD in California. Our company now is out over in Spain at Spanibus, you know, dealing with some of our partners in Spain. So a lot's happening with Freedom Leaf. But Freedom Leaf started as a magazine, and we're expanding into other areas of interest. My job is to be the editor. My job is to put out a magazine. We're doing now quarterly magazines as well as our freedomleaf.com website. So, you know, things are moving along. We're doing very well. There's a lot to cover.
I first became acquainted with Freedom Leaf through Normal, as many of the Normal chapters out there will have stacks of Freedom Leaf at their tables at various events. Also working with SSDP, as I understand it.
Oh, yeah. We started, you know, with Normal and SSTP as our sort of main affiliates, where we would work closely with the national organization as well as the local chapters, provide them with magazines so they can put them out at their meet and greets and the meetups and stuff that they have around campuses and wherever else. And we expanded to include Women Grow. And so that's our three main organizations that we're affiliated. We also are affiliated with Oaksterdam University. So those four groups have an article in every issue of the magazine, something focused around what they're doing or something that's focused around the issue, and I ask them to write an article about a given subject. Maybe it's a women's issue, and I ask Betty Allworth to write an article about women and cannabis, you know, from SSDP. But either way, they have their voice in the magazine every month, so that's there, you know, as a given. And then beyond that, the magazine's available at stores, legal stores all around the country. It's available in New York at different events that I bring the magazine to. New York has a lot of different meetup events. So the magazine's also available online at the digital version at freedomleaf.com. The magazine is also available as blog posts. We take most of the articles from the magazine and put them up on the site, such as, you know, your review of the Leafly Guide that's up on the website now and is also in the latest issue of the magazine, which, by the way, I'm excited about that particular section that you're in. It's the Freedom Leaf Book Club.
Yeah.
For winter reading, we put together 9 different reviews of important books that have come out in the last 6 months or so. So that's kind of something we're going to be doing regularly, the Freedom Leaf Book Club.
Yeah, the book review I did for, it was the Leafly Guide, a guide for consumers. I thought it was a very well-written book and very useful for folks, especially if you're coming from maybe one of the interior states or southern states, you're moving to a legal state in the Northeast, Colorado, or out west. You know, there's a lot to learn, and things have changed very rapidly. So my kudos to the folks at Leafly on that book. The other reviews, I'm looking forward to getting through the magazine to see how some of my colleagues have reviewed some of these books as well. So thank you for taking on that that book club. It's the quarterly issue. So this is the winter quarter, I presume?
Yeah, we're running just a little late. We'll catch up, and we'll be right on schedule and get magazines out sort of a little bit more on time. But we, you know, decided, you know, a little bit last minute to shift. And so right now this issue is print copies will be available any day. And the digital issue has been available for a week. And as I said, all the blog versions of the stories, most of them are up on the site. We're just focusing on quarterly issues now instead of, we were doing about 8 a year, so we're cutting down to 4, so we're cutting that in half. It's mostly for print reasons, expensive, you know, just like, you know, everybody, we just heard that, you know, a new Musical Express is going to end in England, one of the great music journals, and that print publication is going to be no more. And the Village Voice, you know, ended last year in New York as far as a print publication. So, you know, I think the marijuana industry is kind of going against the grain, you know, with all these print publications. I think there's going to be a shakeout, to be honest. I don't think most of them will survive. There's just too many, and there's not enough money to support them.
Yeah, I think, you know, in this day and age, people are getting the information on their phones and on their tablets. I do like the idea of being a quarterly for the from the point of view of being someone who's been an activist and having something to hand someone at an event. You know, that's better than a website, better than a sticker. Here's something with some information, some real true knowledge about what's going on in the movement, what's going on about the plant. So I still think there'll be a need for that. And I think Freedom Leaf's going to fill that niche quite effectively. Is there anything else in the print issue we want to talk about before we get on to the website?
Well, there's just lots of great articles. I mean, you know, if we're going to be quarterly now, we're being a little less news-oriented. So yeah. If you want your news, you go to the website. And if you want more of a longer view of things, then you maybe go to the magazine. So, you know, for this issue, you know, the cover is about California. We have like a fruit case that we sort of designed, you know, kind of augmenting instead of an apple or pears, it's marijuana. So it looks like a classic, you know, fruit case that you would see in California. And so we kind of mocked that up for our cover. And the idea really behind this issue was that's the big news. I mean, the bad news is what's happening in Washington and the White House and Sessions and all that. But the big news is, you know, California going legal. And obviously a lot of other, you know, things like that happening in the country. But that was the big news that kind of galvanized the whole movement at the beginning of the year and probably set off, you know, Sessions, you know, making his moves, you know, to end the Cole memo and things like that, because, you know, California's moving ahead, they have to push back against it. So that's the big news. But the other big news, you know, in the issue focuses on what's happening down the road, Canada. So we have an article on what's happening in Canada in terms of the provinces making their own decisions on regulations. And we have an article on New Jersey. There's a lot of excitement here in the East Coast now that there's a Democratic governor, Phil Murphy, in Trenton, and he has said he would sign a legalization bill. So there's a lot of excitement that that might come to pass this year. May take till next year, to be honest, because they want to revamp the medical marijuana program that's been lagging in Jersey and then, you know, go towards legalization, adult use. So that may take till next year, but still there's a lot of excitement. So we did an article about that. So we're sort of zeroing in on the flashpoints. You know, where are things happening, you know, of importance? Say next issue, we'll zero in on Massachusetts as Massachusetts is gearing up. And we're, you know, looking towards more coverage of Canada and as Canada is gearing up. So that's the kind of focus of the magazine. I mean, we have a great article on the history of edibles by Sherry Sicard, who's one of our regulars. Sherry has a new book out called The Easy Cannabis Cookbook. That's an excerpt from that. We also have an article about, you know, the White House has been taking land away out west. They've been basically stealing land that was, it's federal land, and they're taking it back. And they, in these beautiful areas in southern Utah, Bears Ears and other places, the Valley of the Gods. So our hemp specialist, Erin Hyatt, wrote an article about that. She's from Utah, so it kind of means a lot to her especially. And plus the other angle on Patagonia is they have a line of hemp clothes. So we've been really trying to ferret out the mainstream companies out there that have a line of hemp, because hemp clothing is a little hard to find these days, but bit by bit we're finding companies are putting it out again, and some of it is just coming through the bigger companies. They have a line, and so we're zeroing in on companies like that. That's the main reason why we focused on that, though. You know, we can do a political article every once in a while that doesn't have to do with marijuana, though there is hemp tie-in. Allison Margolin, the LA's dopest attorney, she's famous, the famous Margolin family with Bruce Margolin, who was the head of LA Normal, and her sister Madison, who's been writing up a storm all over the marijuana industry, writes for Freedom Leaf. Anyway, Allison, the older sister, and her partner at her law firm put together an article called Life During the Rule of Sessions. So that's kind of zeroing in on what we're dealing with now from the federal government point of view. So she discusses the status of the Rohrabacher-Blumenauer Amendment, where that stands, where that might go, and also where things are happening on the civil forfeiture front. So that's the article for that. And also on our focus on California, because that's kind of a little bit of a California focus, Allison's based in LA. We also have an article by another one of our favorites, Amanda Ryman, and she's looking to the future, the Northern California way. What's Northern California going to do as legalization, you know, takes over? And she has a whole bunch of suggestions of cannabis lounges, cannabis tourism, farm-to-table craft cannabis, and it being an incubator for ideas up there. So the next thing she's going to do for us, by the way, she's going to go on a series of those tours that they're now taking in Northern California. There's these tour groups groups now where you can basically get on a bus and go for 5 hours and see everything. So she's going to report on that the next time. And also in Gail Belum, one of our favorites from California, kind of just weighs in on what how things are going with legalization in California. He's based in Sacramento. Our New Jersey coverage was great. We covered this New Jersey cannabis symposium that was an overflow crowd. We have an article about DJ Muggs, an old buddy of mine from Cypress Hill. Cypress Hill is getting into the cannabis business. Big surprise, right? Mm-hmm. They've taken their time, but now they've made a partnership with Bang Chocolates, and they're going to do a number of products that are going to come out that's, you know, Bang Chocolates is one of the most popular edible brands out there. So that was kind of a fun thing. We also have an interesting article in this issue about a musician named Adam Traxel with a band called the Mimicking Birds. And he uses CBD to recover from a brain tumor. It's an independent band, and the publicist contacted me. It was kind of like when I was at High Times, I'd get all these calls from publicists about bands. And so this was one of them with a lesser known band, but a very, very compelling story. And then we have our book club. The book club features, as you said, the Leafly Guy. We also have Grassroots, The Rise and Fall, and Rise of Marijuana America by Emily Dufton. We have So Much Things to Say, The Oral History of Bob Marley. That's by Roger Steffens. We have your guide, The Leafly Guy. We have There Are No Dead Here, A Story of Murder and Denial in Colombia by Maria McFarland Sanchez Moreno, who's the new head of the Drug Policy Alliance. We have the ABCs of CBD, The Essential Guide for Parents by Shira Adler. We have When They Call You a Terrorist, The Black Lives Matter Memoir. That's by Patrice Cullors and Asha Bandel. And this is affiliated with the Drug Policy Alliance. Asha works there. We have The Most Dangerous Man in America. It's a book about Timothy Leary's escape from jail when the government was tracking him down. Interesting storyline there. Stevie Nicks' Gold Dust Woman. It's a biography. We have that as well. And finally, Did It, which is a book about the life of Jerry Rubin, the Yippie. So that's our issue. I'm very excited. There's a lot in there.
Well, and I like this too, that as a quarterly, it'll be less news oriented, like you said, and you'll have these evergreen stories that'll make it for, you know, it'll be good on the tables for throughout that whole season for the activists out there that are promoting the cause. So I applaud this move. I think it's going to be a great move. So the news then, of course, moves to the website. So let's talk a little bit about freedomleaf.com. And it's, I assume, just covering more of the cannabis news on a timely basis.
Yeah, that's more day-to-day, looking for what's in the news and what needs to be covered, looking to break some stories, too, you not just cover what everybody else is covering. And that's the hard part. You know, you have to do a little digging and, spend a little more effort on finding those stories out there. A couple of the ones we found recently I was kind of proud of. One was, you know, there's a lot of talk about Coachella, the festival that comes up in April in California. And now that California is legal, you know, everybody's wondering, well, can you smoke pot at the Coachella Festival legally? And Coachella people are responding by saying, no. So there's been a little bit of a controversy around that. And we decided to do a little digging on Coachella. There was one reference we saw in an article that was not clear as to the company that owns Coachella. It goes back to the Anschutz family in Denver, Colorado. And they own the promotion, the companies that run everything, and on that side for the, you know, they run AEG, which is a major concert promoter, and they run the event in its of itself. And so the foundation has, as it turns out, we found, has made some donations to anti-marijuana organizations, this is the Kevin Sabet Group, Smart Colorado, over the years. We found two donations from the Anschutz Foundation. So we did some digging. That was Doug McVeigh, your buddy Doug McVeigh in Oregon. And we did a little more digging recently with a little help from Doug, too, to find that our friend Dana Rohrabacher, who, you know, is on the Republican side but is very pro-marijuana and famous for his Rohrabacher Amendment, he has taken money from Paul Manafort. It turns out that, you know, as probably people know, Rohrabacher has connections to Russia, and his name is Pop Investigation. And lo and behold, he has taken campaign contributions from the indicted Paul Manafort. So we're looking for stories like that, in addition to covering the SSDP conference that just, you know, happened in Baltimore, or posting, you know, how to make your own can of butter. So, I mean, it's a variety of things, but we're really looking for, you know, the good hard news stories for the website, and then we're looking for kind of a different tone of articles for the magazine, and also a different style of writing. You know, blog writing is different than magazine writing. Some bloggers may not realize that, but there really is a distinction. It's a little harder to be a magazine writer than it is to be a blogger, to be honest. It takes a little more effort. It takes a little more style. So look for a little more style in the magazine, and look for a little more just straight up news on the website.
All right, freedomleaf.com is the website. Is there an email they should contact, or is like a form they fill out if they're looking to write for Freedom Leaf?
If you want to reach out to us directly, there's an info@freedomleaf.com that will come to my attention.
Excellent. So aside from the print and the web, you had mentioned something about CBD with Freedom Leaf that's might be coming on the horizon?
Moves. Our company is based in Nevada. Nevada is now legal, and we are acquiring a Nevada-grown hemp, and we are extracting that, and that is becoming our product line for Hempology. And we have an oil that's used in cartridge form. We also have pet treats, and we're developing more products. That's kind of the big direction that the company is going. To be honest, you know, it's hard to make money on a magazine, and the revenues have been a little bit low the first 3 years of the company. And where can we bring some revenues into the company? We found that that's the way to do it. You know, the CBD market is a booming market. I know there's a gray area in that, but we're staying within all the rules, especially state-wise. Hopefully, you know, this will be a good year for us in terms of selling product.
All right. We'll look forward to everything that's happening with Freedom Leaf. We'll find out more at freedomleaf.com or visit your local Normal, SSDP, or Women Grow event. You'll probably find some copies there. Or I suppose any cannabis or hemp event should have some copies of Freedom Leaf somewhere around, didn't you think, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, generally, I mean, if we're, you know, it depends. If we're there, the magazine will be there. So the thing about putting the magazine out now quarterly is that we continue to go to, you know, trade events all over the country. That's a good way to find us. You know, the magazine is more like an insider's magazine in a sense. So it's for the people who look for it. It's for the people who go already to the events. They're at an event, and then it's there. You know, so it's not a newsstand thing for the general consumer. It's very specific consumer looking for people in the know or people who want to learn a little bit more about this subject. But so you have to be in the right place to find it. You have to be at a trade show. You have to be in the store. You have to be at a meetup. You have to be someplace where people are communicating about cannabis. And then you just may find our Freedom Leaf magazine. And we have our little size, and it's a good handout that way. And as you said before, it's almost like a business card. It's kind of keeping Freedom Leaf in people's mind, and it's kind of easy to tuck in your pocket. People seem to like the size.
So in some way,
you know, we're not contributing to too much, you know, cutting down of trees. We have a smaller, you know, small magazine, not a huge print run. So I think our footprint's not that bad when it comes to that. So we are reducing, but we're going to be out there. So we do want to have something to kind of give away on a regular basis, though.
Yeah, Steve Bloom, editor-in-chief at Freedom Leaf Magazine. Freedom Leaf Winter Quarter issue is out. Look for it and visit freedomleaf.com for all the latest breaking news on cannabis throughout North America and around the world. Steve, thanks for joining us again, and happy 420 to you.
Thanks a lot, Russ. See you soon.
This episode was produced as part of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville, the daily news and interview podcast covering the world of medical cannabis, adult marijuana, industrial hemp, and spiritual ganja. MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the pharmaceutical agenda, without all the side effects, overdose, deaths, you know, insurance.
Side effects may include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Dry mouth, constipation, indigestion, and abdominal pain.
Which can occur without warning and may cause death.
Hi, I'm Sarah Frank. Join me on Saturday, April 14th for the 3rd annual Boise Hemp Fest at the Julia Davis Park Bandshell in downtown Boise. Join us at HempFest as we educate and entertain the people of Idaho about medical marijuana, industrial hemp, and all the amazing realities about cannabis. We'll have excellent bands, knowledgeable speakers, informative booths, and even a supervised children's play area called Kidland. The Boise HempFest is Saturday, April 14th and begins at 10 a.m. and runs until dark. Visit BoiseHempFest.org today.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs.
I am ill. That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to legalize.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Good people don't smoke marijuana.
As longtime listeners will know, I am a native of the state of Idaho, and there are shenanigans going on in the Idaho legislature in an attempt to shield the governor from having to issue yet another veto for a CBD oil bill to help little kids with epilepsy. And in this case, it's an Idaho senator who broke a state open meetings law trying to kill a bill in secret. Now, the bill in question here in Idaho is House Bill 577, and it's intended to allow parents to treat their kids with non-psychoactive cannabis oil, the so-called CBD oil, cannabidiol oil, if the kid is suffering from intractable epilepsy. That's not to grow marijuana to produce the CBD oil. It's not to have the state grow it and process it or import it from anywhere or have any shops that are selling it necessarily. It's purely if the parent got this oil somehow, slipped off to Oregon or Washington or Nevada or Utah or Wyoming or Montana, any of these states that surround Idaho that have medical access to CBD, if they slip into any of those states, bring over some of that CBD oil, well, then Idaho's not going to bust them for it. That's all this bill does, right? We're not even talking about giving them access to actual cannabis, right? So the Senate here is considering this bill, and it will allow the people to have their cannabis oil. And it's like the CBD oil bills that first passed in Utah. Utah was the first state. Yeah, Utah. That Utah was the first state to pass one of these CBD oil laws. Idaho is only one of four states left that don't have some form of medical marijuana. And if you go to my website at RadicalRust.com, I've got a post up, the Marijuana States of America. If you'd like to get a copy of this map, I created this map to kind of show how different all the states are by medical marijuana or by legal marijuana. And Idaho is one of the four states left in gray, along with South Dakota, Nebraska, and Kansas, that have nothing, not even CBD oil law. So it is not going to provide any protection for people that possess weed in any way, that are growing cannabis in any way. It's just a CBD oil legislation. Now, the bill, this HB 577, just recently passed the Idaho House on a 59-11 vote. But it's when it went over to the Senate when they started doing these democracy thwarting shenanigans. And the bill was assigned to the Senate Health and Welfare Committee. The chair of that committee is a Republican, Senator Lee Hyder from Twin Falls, Idaho. He was just going to let that HB 577 die in committee. Now, a lot of the activists that are fighting to get some relief for these sick kids started complaining to another one of the committee members, Republican Senator Tony Potts. And they were saying, look, you should at least give the bill a hearing. give this bill a hearing. And Senator Potts is a sympathetic ear because he has a child who suffers from seizures. So Potts, Senator Potts, starts explaining to the chair, Senator Hyder, in the open committee, why the family would want to try CBD oil. This is Senator Potts' quote. "I think we have to remember that we represent people who vote for us, people who are our friends. If your constituents are anything like mine, there's a large amount of individuals who desire the health benefits of this," end quote. So he's making the plea. Let's just give this bill a hearing. And that's when Chair Hyder gavels down the request. Gavels it down. It says, quote, "If anyone on this committee wants to talk about this, they can do so in my office," the chair said. And that's when the chair got up and left the room. The chairman, middle of the open committee hearing, gets up, leaves the room with a majority of the committee to meet privately in his office. Now, reporters were trying to follow the group into the office, but they were denied. And from outside the door, one of the reporters had their recorder, and they could hear the chairman, Lee Hyder, Senator Hyder, yelling to the other members of the committee. Now, I've got the audio. I've tried to clean it up as much as I could. It was very faint in the recording, and there's a lot of ambient noise. But I'll play it for you. See if you can hear what he says. I'll give you the quote right after.
"We're not going to hear this issue on my committee. There are other issues on the agenda. It's totally inappropriate. No, we're not. The governor's office does not want to hear this bill. The drug policy does not want to hear this bill. Prosecutors do not want to hear this bill. State police do not want to hear this bill. I'm respecting those people, and I told the government we did not hear the bill in our committee. So, given the information all day long, unless they fire me as committee chairman, it will not be heard in my committee. Unless they pull the bill out of my committee, no time decides to do that, then he has that value.
So it's pretty hard to make that out, but let me read you the actual quote as best I could transcribe it from hearing it over and over and over. "We're not going to hear this issue on my committee. There's other big issues on the agenda. This is totally inappropriate. No, we do not. The governor's office does not want to hear this bill. The drug policy does not want to hear this bill. Prosecutors do not want to hear this bill. State police do not want to hear this bill. I'm respecting those people." I think that's the key part of that quote, folks. Here it is, a senator in the state of Idaho, elected by the people in the people's chambers, telling us who he really respects. Not the people. He continues, "And I told them we are not going to hear this bill in my committee, so you can raise the motion all day long, but unless they fire me as committee chairman, it's not going to be heard in my committee. Unless they pull the bill out of my committee, if pro tem, that'd be the Senate president, right, decides to do that, then he has that power." The audacious gall of this senator to go behind closed doors, lock out reporters, to explain that a bill to help kids that have epilepsy and seizures that can be helped, even cured, with the use of a non-psychoactive cannabis oil that every other state in America allows kids to have except for four. The gall. It's just tragic. So at that point, as these legislators are behind closed doors and the senator is giving the chair is giving them a dress down, "We can't hear the bill because the governor, the prosecutors, the drug policy, all the law enforcement don't want to hear this bill." That's when a reporter knocks on the door to inform the senators that the meeting they are having at that time is breaking Idaho's law.
Chairman, I think this is violating the open meeting law. This is violating the open meeting law.
It's true.
The reporters are outside the door. They just can't believe.
Still inappropriate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have my phone with me. Otherwise, I'd be... Was there a quorum? Is that the problem?
Yes. Yes. The entire committee, without voting to go into closed-door session, went into closed-door session.
That was an error.
I understand that, which is why I knocked on the door.
Now, I don't think there's a quorum. Well, obviously, we're done.
Okay, so that was the staff member saying, was there a quorum? Oh, well, that was an error. I don't think there's a quorum. Now we're done, right? So here's you got the legislative staff admitting that, oh, oops, we got caught. So the following day, the chairman, Chair Hyder, was forced to own up to his error. He said, quote, "The chair acknowledges violation of Senate Rule 20 in that an unnoticed and unapproved executive session occurred," end quote. He said that in front of the committee and then asked for and received unanimous consent to vacate the vote they held in his closed office. That's what's going on in Idaho, because they don't want this bill to get heard again and put in front of Governor Butch Otter for him to be forced to veto it again because he's in the pocket of law enforcement and drug rehab and the prosecutors. See, Utah passed that CBD law, and, you know, because Utah and Wyoming and all these southern states and midwestern states, they've been resisting legalization. They've been resisting medical marijuana. You can't have anything to do with it. But once they saw the little kids, somebody think of the children, started to get them. They've been using it against us. Now it started to work against them. They saw the kids. They saw the CBD oil could help, and they couldn't argue that it would get anyone high. So in 2015, after Utah, Wyoming, Wisconsin, all these states passed these CBD laws, there's pressure on the Idaho legislature to do something. They're bringing their kids to the state house. We can't have this, right? So understand the background on this. Idaho legislators are some of the most conservative legislators in the nation. In 2013, when we started advocating for whether or not we're going to have a medical marijuana initiative in Idaho, because Idaho's an initiative state, we started talking to Marijuana Policy Project and other national orgs, start to scope out, hey, what could we do in Idaho? Well, the state legislature, they could see, they're getting organized, and poll numbers come back and show that 3 out of 4 Idahoans support medical marijuana. So in 2013, the legislature, taking taxpayer time and money, passed an anti-marijuana resolution that declared, in part, "Whereas national pro-marijuana organizations have invested millions to push drug legalization in America and have targeted Idaho for a medical marijuana initiative in 2014, now therefore be it resolved by the members of the first regular session of the 62nd Idaho Legislature, the Senate and the House of Representatives concurring therein, that the Idaho Legislature takes this opportunity to state its opposition to efforts to legalize marijuana for any purpose in the state of Idaho." That's the House of Representatives in 2013 voted 63-7, and the Senate in 2013 voted 29-5 that marijuana shall never ever be legal for anybody, any purpose, anyhow, any way, any time. That was in 2013. Granted, keep in mind, it's already illegal in Idaho, right? This resolution didn't do anything. It just said, we really hate pot. That same House came back in 2015 and voted 39-30, and that same Senate came back in 2015 and voted 22-12 to pass a CBD-only bill that was virtually identical to this bill. When that bill got to Governor Butch Otter's desk, he vetoed it. He's still the only governor in the nation to have vetoed a CBD oil law. The only governor in the United States out of 19 that have had this put before them. The only one who looked at epileptic kids who could be helped by something that doesn't get anybody high and vetoed it. Now, he did have an executive order that said, okay, we can take 25 kids, and we can have a special trial program for GW Pharmaceuticals Epidiolex for 25 kids. Sucks if your kid is kid number 26, huh? We're going to tell you more about Butch Otter and how he went from a libertarian legalizer to the worst governor on pot in the nation.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
It's like a fleet, you're planet, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling.